Merry Christmas. Can we take a moment and just reflect on the words that we just sing? We worship a living God whose presence literally is with us right now. For those of us that have trusted in his Son with our lives, his presence is not only with us, but it's in us. And one day he's coming back for us, amen? Maybe you arrived here this morning not expecting much. And I pray that God would use this as a pivotal moment in your life to potentially reach down into your soul, flip a switch, to help you to see that his purpose for you, it's so much bigger than what you could have ever asked, think, or imagined. Maybe this year some of us prayed for some big miracles, when God is still waiting for us to appreciate the small ones. Don't we all know that Christmas actually represents the greatest gift that God ever gave us came in a very small package? May we never deprive or deny ourselves of the awe and wonder that is Christmas, because it's so much better than we think it is. He is so much better than we think he is. Pray with me. Father, we gathered here this morning for you. We believe that you sent your Son to us on a rescue mission about 2,000 years ago, not because we deserved it, but because you wanted to show how great your love is for us. And to that, we just say, thank you, God. We come here to glorify you, to give you honor and praise to which you deserve. And God, I know there are some people that maybe showed up here this morning not expecting much. But would you use this moment in each of our lives to potentially help us to see, to experience, to invite the awe and wonder of what this season represents? We pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, hey, before you sit down, just give somebody a fist bump and tell them Merry Christmas. Well, I want to begin this morning with a story that, if I'm being honest, I'm a little reluctant to share with you because it's a little bit embarrassing, maybe a lot embarrassing. It's borderline inappropriate, so just giving you a heads up on that. It happened to me a couple weeks ago, and what had happened, well, before I say this, if I'm going to share this story with you, like, I need you to make a promise to me because it is embarrassing. If I share this story with you, you've got a promise. You're going to keep it just between us girls. Does that sound good? All right. A couple weeks ago, we're here late in a meeting for the future of our building. If you don't know this, we're in the process of buying the Budweiser building a mile and a half down the road on Mark Dabbling. Yeah, we're excited about that. Exciting times. From Bud to Bibles, baby. That's what we're doing. All right. But we're here. We're having a late meeting, and the meeting's going longer than I expected it to, and I had to use the bathroom. I told you it was borderline inappropriate. Just number one, but you probably know this. Once you get over 40, the bladder ain't what she used to be, amen? And so I'm holding it, and finally the meeting ends. Everybody exits the building except me, and I'm like speed walking to the bathroom. But little did I know that I had hit the record button on a voice text on my phone. Now, if you know anything about this technology, in order for that to happen, you have to have someone's profile pulled up on your messaging app, to which I did. I won't tell you who that is quite yet. And so all of this is being recorded. And so I make my way to the bathroom. And again, I don't know if you know this or not, but when you've waited too long to go to the bathroom and you begin to relieve yourself, you just naturally let out some moans and groans. It just happens. And not only that, but after I experienced my newfound elation by having an empty bladder, I broke out in a Christmas song. I really wish I was making this up. It sounded something like this. Oh, Christmas tree. Oh, Christmas tree. Now you're asking the question, did you actually send it to someone? And unfortunately, the answer to that question is yes. But it's by God's divine intervention that it went to my wife. And so she received this. about 5 minutes later, sends me a reply with all these, you know, smiley face emojis and laughing out loud emojis and said, "You have to go back and listen what you just sent me," to which I did. And by the time I get home, my kids have already listened to it. My son began to make a ringtone out of my moans and groans. It's on the App Store for downloading today. No, it's not. That part's made up. But why do I share that story with you? It's to ask you this question. Have you ever had something in your life that you did not want to be revealed? Maybe it was a secret. Maybe it was a surprise. Maybe it was a present. On that note, really quick, I'd be curious, did any of you grow up in a home where your parents actually didn't wrap your presents? Like you just woke up on Christmas morning, you came down, all the presents were underneath the tree unwrapped. There was no surprise, it's just they're all there. Anybody grow up in a home like that? Just a few of you. I'm sorry your parents didn't love you, by the way. For the rest of us that love our kids, we wrap the presents because we want to create a greater level of anticipation, right? We want there to be some secrecy to the gift that we're going to give them. And at least now we have Amazon. And Amazon goes ahead and puts it in a box for us, delivers it to our front porch. How many of you would say that Christmas looks a lot like this? Don't lie. Yeah, no judging here. It does at the Pennington household as well. You know what's interesting about Christmas? It's the exact opposite. Christmas represents that our God didn't want to keep himself hidden from us. He didn't want to keep his love from us a secret. He wanted us to see just how much he actually loves us. And he did so by sending us Jesus. And the big reveal was not what people were expecting, right? The big reveal of who he was came in the innocence of a baby, entered into this world the same way that we did. And while I don't have a whole lot of time to go into this, there's a lot of theology around that. See, God knew and he knows that in order to pave the way for our salvation, that there was going to have to be a perfect sacrifice. And the only way that that was going to happen was by putting on human flesh himself, stepping into this world, and then living a perfect life, which is what Jesus did, something that no human being had ever done and will ever do again. And then after living that perfect life, he gave up that life, literally sacrificed it on our behalf so that our salvation could be secure if we will put our faith and trust in him, that our sins could be forgiven forever. But I want you to see something. Because when Jesus walked this earth, he experienced temptation just like we do. He experienced loss just like we do. He experienced grief just like we do. And he experienced pain that fortunately none of us will ever have to experience, by being crucified on a cross. I want to show you how the author of Hebrews captures this, but I want to read it to you from the Message paraphrase, because I love how they put it into words. Hebrews chapter 4. "Now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all. All but the sin, that is. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give." Some of you need to receive that this morning. Take the mercy. Accept the help. You see, what people need the most this Christmas will not come in one of these. What people need the most this Christmas is to experience the awe and wonder of an almighty God who sent his only son on a rescue mission to all of us, even when we don't deserve it. I would tell you that throughout the year, most of us are likely deprived of awe and wonder. And maybe God gave us this day, this Christmas day, this Christmas Eve even, as a moment to kind of begin to be still and recognize and maybe even invite the awe and wonder of what this day represents back into our life, because most of us truly are awe and wonder deprived. may we all be a little bit more cautious and a little bit more careful with how Christmas comes packaged to us. Because don't we know Christmas comes packaged so many different ways? It comes packaged with consumerism and commercialism. It comes packaged with all of these crazy expectations. At times, some of you know what I mean, where it's like, man, we gotta be at this Christmas party to make sure that they don't get mad. And by the way, we gotta be at your parents at this time, and we gotta be at my parents at this time, and we gotta make sure that we put together a Christmas card and send it out to everybody. But before we do, we gotta buy the perfect Christmas pajamas. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. Christmas comes packaged a lot of different ways, but the real gift of Christmas is what's inside. I want to take a moment and kind of build on this for us, and I think you'll appreciate this. 1,400 years before Jesus arrives on scene, the Jewish people would have gone through one of their many traditions, and one of them, maybe the most important tradition that they experienced, was something called the Passover feast. And during the Passover feast, they would have had something called the afikoman. It was a small piece of unleavened bread that they would have wrapped in linen cloth, and then they would have hidden it around the room during Passover for the children to attempt to find. And what the afikoman represented was the coming Messiah. It was a way to help them to anticipate that one day that God would send them a Savior. If you look at it, I mean, something small and is insignificant as a piece of unleavened bread, but what it represented was so significant. Fast forward 1,400 years after this tradition had started, and we get to Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. The anticipation is over. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths," kind of like the piece of unleavened bread wrapped in linen cloth, "and lying in a manger." If you think about it, a manger, very small, insignificant thing, but what it represents was going to change human existence from that day forward. Fast forward 33 more years, and we get to the end of Jesus' life. That moment after he had already lived that perfect life that we talked about, and it was that time for him to give up his life so that he could pave the way for our sins to be forgiven forever, that we would one day have eternal life if we would put our trust and faith in him. In John chapter 19, it captures that story. Taking Jesus' body off the cross, the two of them wrapped it with spices and strips of linen. Now, if you've been paying attention, you notice the afikoman wrapped in linen, baby Jesus wrapped in linen, now the body of Jesus wrapped in linen. Linen represented purity and holiness. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a tomb, which no one had ever been laid, because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus' body there. A tomb, dark, cold, relatively insignificant. But the power that it represents to us today, and the way that it would pave the way for our salvation, changed our lives forever. And now God wants us, for those of us that understand the truth of everything that I just explained, God wants us to now be the mouthpiece of that message. It wasn't just so that we could understand it and we could experience. Now he's wanting to use us to bring that kind of light and love into a dark and broken world. All of us know people. All of us know people that are walking today, right now, in spiritual death and in spiritual darkness. And God is saying, "Let my light shine through you now. I need you to be my mouthpiece." I want to build on that for a moment. Do you know, in the very beginning of time, God literally spoke these words, "Let there be light." And by speaking these words, he spoke the physical nature of light into existence. But God knew that the physical nature of light was never going to be the remedy to the spiritual darkness that would no doubt at some point invade each of our lives, which is why he knew that he had to send his son on a rescue mission. That he was truly sending the light of the world into not only this dark world, but into our own personal darkness. In John chapter 8, Jesus himself says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now watch this. In Hebrews chapter 1, he, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. If you've ever wondered, church, if you've ever wondered what God looks like, all you have to do is look at Jesus. He is the exact imprint of God's nature. He himself says, "I am the light of the world, and I'm going to step into this darkness. But now that I have stepped into this darkness, I am coming to bring you my light. I am now wanting you to reflect my light and my love to this lost and broken world." Don't take my word for it. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. Let my light shine through you so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father is in heaven. To which many of us, if we were honest, we would say, "Me? I feel so insignificant, God, that you would use me to be a reflection of your light? Me?" To which God would respond, "You. God's been using things throughout the course of creation that seems small, insignificant, to make a monumental difference." And so if you're here this morning and you're thinking, maybe that's true for everyone else, not me, God would say, "You, yes, you. I hope you're starting to see this. Where yes, in the beginning of time, God said, let there be light, but he's still saying the same thing today. Let there be light in your homes. Let there be light in your schools. Let there be light in your workplaces. Let there be light in your marriage. Let there be light in your neighborhoods, in your friendships, in all your relationships. Let there be light." This year, I want all of us to recover or maybe rediscover the gift that is Christmas. To the hopeless, that gift is hope. To the weary, that gift is strength. To the lonely, that gift is relationship. To the hurting, that gift is healing. To the dying, that gift is eternal life. And to those in your life, that gift might be you. If you'll invite the love and the light of Christ to not just come inside of you, but to flow through you. Let me close with this. I can't possibly know the circumstances of your life, but I would imagine that for many of us, those circumstances aren't ideal. I pray that this Christmas would give you a moment, maybe even this morning would give you the moment that you really need to just sit in the stillness of God. That maybe you would stop looking to external things to fill your life with joy and peace. Like, let's be honest, maybe some of you even said this year, man, if I can accomplish that, like if I achieve that goal, then I'll be happy. But now you're assessing whether or not that's actually true. Maybe today is a reminder for you to stop looking to so many external things to fill your life with something that only God can offer. And if nothing else, man, this Christmas, I want you to experience the truth, the depths of truth around the word Emmanuel, which literally means that God is with us. Do you know the best gift that you could give yourself this Christmas is to spend time in the presence of God, whether you know that or not. And whether you know it or not, that his presence is always with you, always. Which means God with us when we thought we'd be married by now. God with us at the altar and in therapy and at the divorce attorney's office. God with us when they said, we don't see a heartbeat. God with us when the test came back positive and when it came back negative. When I say God is, I want you to say with us, God is. God with us when we said, I do. And God with us when they said, there's someone else. God with us when they said, everybody is going to be included except you. God with us when they didn't follow through on what they said they were going to do. God with us when our kids gave their life to Jesus. And God with us when they turned away from their faith. God with us when the kids decided not to come home any longer for Christmas. When I say God is, you say with us. God is always. And yes, God could have answered a lot of our prayers. God could have given us some remedy to our temporary struggles and problems. But instead, he just gave us, if you ask me, the best gift he could ever give us, his presence with us. Always. His promise is that, well, he'll never leave us, ever. He'll never forsake us. He is with us, always. To which our response should be, hallelujah. Pray with me. God, it surprises even me how quick I lose awe and wonder. How much I allow myself to get wrapped up in the circumstances of life and forget that one of the greatest gifts you've ever given us is your presence continuously throughout our lives. In the midst of our greatest source of pain, you're with us. In the midst of our greatest source of joy, you're with us and everything in between. Father, I pray that our time together today would allow us to either be reminded of that, but maybe a step further to invite that back in. God, I pray that we'll leave here today a little bit different than when we came in. That we'll be ready to approach Christmas with a little bit more awe and wonder, that we'll be ready to approach Christmas and our time together with our family being reminded that we get to be a reflection of your light and love now, and we can truly change the world around us when we allow that to flow through us. God, thank you for the promise that you'll never leave us or forsake us. And we truly do say, hallelujah. We love you. Pray this in Christ's name. Everybody said, amen.